Our next speaker is Nathan Nickel. Nathan is a PhD candidate and has worked with the Carolina Global Breastfeeding Institute on the research arm of the Breastfeeding Friendly Healthcare Project. His dissertation includes using multiple case study methodology to explore the process of implementing the 10 steps in North Carolina hospitals and developing a causal inference approach to evaluate the individual effect of each step on breastfeeding duration. Nathan has experience working with health programs in the U.S. as well as in Mongolia and Jordan. His research interests include monitoring and evaluation of maternal and child health programs, organizational change, implementing innovations, application of causal inference methodology, and maternal and child nutrition policies and programs.
Thank you for having me, and again, I apologize for coming in late from another session. No financial relationships or commercial interests to disclose. We would like to also report that this study was supported by the K.B. Reynolds Charitable Trust, the Duke Endowment, and the CGBI Endowment. So we would really like to explore with this presentation how context interacts with the implementation of the steps, as well as how to address and overcome some of those contextual issues. We'll provide a really brief background on study purpose and design because Miriam discussed that quite extensively. I'll provide a brief description also of the intervention, the methods that we use to evaluate the Breastfeeding Friendly Healthcare Project, some findings of interest, and then a brief discussion. So we are very familiar in this room with the benefit of the 10 steps as it relates to improving breastfeeding initiation, exclusive breastfeeding, and duration of breastfeeding. And yet, there are so few hospitals in the U.S. that are practicing the 10 steps. Very few baby-friendly designated hospitals, and even limited partial implementation. There are numerous barriers in the literature to pursuing the 10 steps, and hospitals are finding it challenging to overcome those barriers, as well as hospitals find that the literature on overcoming the barriers, some folks feel like the literature may not be as applicable to them because they're not intending to pursue designation per se. And so they're looking for other ways to start to improve their breastfeeding support in the maternity centers. And we would like to look at whether an incremental approach such as, okay, we're going to implement steps 2 and 3 now, and then we'll implement steps 6 and 7 next. So if an incremental approach to the implementation of the steps will facilitate implementation in hospitals with a variety of intentions for step implementation, will it lead to increased step achievement? And our ultimate goal, obviously, is will it lead to improved breastfeeding outcomes? The Breastfeeding Friendly Healthcare Project, Miriam went into a lot of detail about the phase quasi-experimental design. And just to review, the data collection at baseline and post-first round intervention. So this presentation is looking at just the post-first round intervention. Data collection was from the e-survey of the hospital staff using the Carolina BCAP, two facility level instruments, which Miriam mentioned, the MPINC and the baby-friendly self-appraisal tool. We conducted a total of 53 interviews in our 6 intervention hospitals, 25 at baseline and 28 at post-intervention. And as Emily just described, we did chart reviews of various approaches to collect the breastfeeding data. The baseline assessment was informed by an organization theory called organizational readiness to change. And what that posits is that a successful implementation of a change effort is dependent on collective efficacy. So do we as a staff, do we all together believe that we can do this? And collective commitment, do we as a staff, do we all together, do we value this change? The theory is that higher levels of collective efficacy and collective commitment will translate into increased success for implementing a change effort. And so we looked at factors that might influence collective efficacy and collective commitment. The The intervention consisted of multiple components. There was support from CGVI to form a task force to spearhead this effort at the hospitals. There were repeated and regular on-site visits and strategic planning sessions. We presented the findings from the assessments, conducted policy analysis of what was on the records at baseline and what was on the records post-intervention. We conducted trainings for hospital staff members, nursing staff members. Emily was available for phone support, and we also provided step 10 support. And finally, we conducted regional physicians trainings by physicians for physicians all around the state so that providers could learn more about breastfeeding supportive care. So as Emily described, we went, and either we went or they provided a detailed chart review for the breastfeeding rates and to look at the change to see if our project had an impact on breastfeeding rates. We calculated the difference of difference estimator to compare the changes between the two groups. And if just to put it in words, we looked at the change from 2009 to 2010 in breastfeeding rates in the treatment group, and we looked at the change in breastfeeding rates from 2009 to 2010 in the control group. STEP achievement was our another outcome of interest, and so we had three STEP achievement scores. Two scores came from the facility level instruments, the MPINC and the baby friendly self-appraisal tool. And one STEP achievement score came from the individual level data that were collected from the Carolina BCAP. And again, project impact was assessed using the difference in difference estimator, and I described that with the breastfeeding rates. And we also looked at STEP achievement from the key informant interviews. And so in each key informant interview, we went through each step and we asked the key informant to describe what's the current practice at your hospital related to step four. What's happening with step four? What are folks' attitudes about step four? What are folks' what do folks perceive as the barriers to step four? So we tried to go into depth on what the providers were seeing in relation to each step individually. We developed a code book with decision rules on when to code each discussion as being step A or B, 1, 2, 3, 4, as well as when not to code a step. And we had two coders code all the interviews, to code the interviews to make sure that our code book would produce replicable results. Factors influencing implementation, again, we did this in two ways. We identified factors from key informant interviews where we asked questions relating back to what sorts of intervention support that CGBI provided do you identify as being impactful for increasing STEP achievement. And again, we developed a list of codes and decision rules to know when to apply those codes. And we cross-referenced the key informant interviews with actual document review inside CGBI. So if a key informant said, oh yeah, the pizza party that CGBI gave at our hospital was really impactful, but when I look at the documents, there was no pizza party provided at the hospital, then likely they're thinking of another intervention, and that was not considered to be a strategy that was used there. So we cross-referenced it with the strategies that we had record of implementing. So looking at the change in breastfeeding rates between the phase one hospitals, so phase one is like our intervention hospitals at this point, and phase two is our control hospitals. Between 09 and 10, our phase one had an increase of any breastfeeding by 3.3 percentage points, and exclusive breastfeeding increase of 6.2 percentage points. Our phase two hospitals, on the other hand, went down by 4.8 percentage points for any breastfeeding and 4.1 percentage points. And that was, the directionality was true at the group level, so phase one versus phase two, and it was also true for each individual hospital. All of our hospitals in phase two went down, all of our hospitals in phase one went up. And then using the difference in difference estimator that I described, the change associated with being a part of the intervention, 8.1 percentage points increase in our phase one hospitals and 10.3 percentage points for exclusive breastfeeding. So looking at the Carolina VCAP, so these are individual level surveys of hospital staff members about practices related to each of the 10 steps. And the only step with a significant change on the individual level surveys was step six. In the phase one hospitals went up by 17.8 points associated with CGBI. None of the other changes were statistically significant. Looking at the facility level instruments, I've bolded those changes because we had six hospitals, so we weren't looking at, our N was six, so we weren't looking at statistical significant change, but we looked at, as part of the multiple case study methods, which changes were associated with 5 points or larger. And being involved in the project, the steps that were associated with larger changes on both steps, on both instruments, were step one policy, so increased policy in our phase one hospitals, increased training, increased teaching of breastfeeding support, so providers are now doing more teaching on how to, for breastfeeding moms on how to breastfeed, no supplementation, and step 10. Factors that were related to the implementation, some contextual factors that were identified, leadership and administration support. Having that support in our phase one hospitals, key informants identified as being influential. Staff involvement became a very important factor, actually. In one of our hospitals, we failed to get staff involvement at a level that was needed, and so there was some backlash. They felt like they were not being consulted appropriately. They were used to being involved in change efforts, and we didn't make use of that as well as we could have in our first round. But the other two hospitals, we did, and we saw change, and we saw more positive attitude about the project and better changes. Hospitals that had prior work in towards achieving BFUSA designation. So we enrolled hospitals at varying levels of intent to pursue designation, and hospitals with previous work, so they had intended to pursue designation, had greater implementation than hospitals that came at square one. Project factors that were identified, so the ongoing support. Every key informant interview that I spoke with, they said that having that ongoing support from CGBI was crucial for them. The trainings, people felt that the trainings not only helped to improve their understanding of how to provide breastfeeding support, but also increased their commitment. So thinking back to the theory that we were using, it increased their collective efficacy to provide the care, and it increased their collective commitment to provide the care. Seeing the evidence for those steps did the same thing. In our smaller hospitals, the thought of we're being a part of a statewide project was actually really influential for them to pursue implementation. We had a trainer that was very dynamic and interacted well with the participants, and key informants identified that trainer and her personality. The task force meetings, the in-services, learning the global criteria. So the global criteria are a description of what it means to achieve a step according to the Baby Friendly Hospital Initiative. And many hospitals had heard about the steps, but when they understood what the criteria were for each step, it actually increased their commitment to it, and it increased their efficacy to implement it, because they said, oh, that's not as hard as we thought, we can do that. And as Miriam reiterated, seeing the hospital level breastfeeding data, accurate hospital level breastfeeding data on a regular basis. Barriers, we were not, at baseline, there was an incorrect perception of what the steps meant. In the baseline interviews, I had nurses tell me the steps are about forcing moms to breastfeed who don't want to breastfeed. And in some of our hospitals, we failed to overcome that perception for some of the nurses. And so that continued to serve as a barrier. The thought that, ooh, we have to pay for formula, was a barrier identified at baseline, and we did not overcome that for some folks in pursuing the incremental approach of low-hanging fruit, and so that was still a barrier. The physicians that I interviewed said we had low physician attendance at our physician trainings, and when I interviewed physicians, they said, oh, I couldn't attend because it conflicted with my schedule, and oh, I couldn't attend because I didn't know about it. When we had internal document records documenting that we had sent them information, we had spoken directly to the physician about the training, so they knew about it. But some other things that came out in some of the other interviews were that, oh, the physicians aren't committed to doing this. That came out in the baseline when we were looking at collective commitment for organizational readiness to change, and it came out again in the second round assessment. And then lack of communication about the project. There were still folks who did not know what this project was about. When we enrolled hospitals, as Miriam mentioned, we had hospitals with all varieties of intentions towards achieving STEPS and towards implementing, pursuing designation. We had some that were said, by the end of 3 years, we're going to be baby friendly. And we had others who said, you know, we want to improve breastfeeding support, but we don't necessarily want to pursue designation. And across the board, regardless of those intentions and that commitment to the 10 steps and different levels, we saw improved step achievement. Interventions that target efficacy and commitment to provide the breastfeeding supportive care that considers what's happening at the hospital is really important. As Miriam said, the hospitals were at so many different places in terms of their administration structure, in terms of their hierarchy, influential individuals. Implementation takes time. We saw increases in breastfeeding rates, even though we didn't see a huge change in some of the STEP practices, and we're starting to realize that just pursuing this project is changing the culture towards breastfeeding, providing breastfeeding supportive care, and that process of changing institutional culture takes time. An approach that says, let's take it one step at a time, is associated with improved breastfeeding rates. And we still need to do further research on whether the identified approach that we used in North Carolina is generalizable to other places outside of the South, and whether there are certain combinations of steps that might have a bigger impact in step implement in breastfeeding duration. Thank you.